Church.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Nyati, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, how are you, boss?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. Are you good?
I'm very okay. I'm okay.
Fantastic. I'm glad that so, which means that you actually had a good day.
Yes, it was a comfortable day. It was a good day.
Lovely, lovely. Now, we're going to be speaking to you today, henceforth, I think that till Friday, about the gift of prophecy. It's one of the fundamental beliefs of the SDAs. And of course, these people, the Adventists, embrace the significance of all the spiritual gifts, including prophecy, recognizing anyone can be used in this way. Moved by the Holy Spirit, actually. So we're going to be learning about this and more over the next couple of days. So what does it mean to have the spiritual gift of prophecy, Pastor?
To have the spiritual gift of prophecy, maybe as you have just stated, fundamentally it means speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
More so speaking to advise, give counsel, instruct God's people, not only individuals, but the people of God across the globe,
mm-hmm.
to advise, to guide, to correct, to comfort. The fundamental idea is to speak under the guidance or the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. There is some similarities with one who's preaching and one who's teaching, in that all of them ought to be led by the Holy Spirit. But a fundamental principle must apply here. There is a general way where the Holy Spirit is leading almost everyone. Then there is a special way in which he leads those with the gift of prophecy.
Mm.
So the gift of prophecy comes specially to an individual. Different from another can say the same thing, which is still true, but on a general understanding or on a general revelation of the Spirit. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Now, this gift of prophecy, how is it different, from the seers, the horoscopes, and those who claim to know the future? What's the difference there?
The fundamental difference is the source.
Okay.
The source determines the message.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are talking about the same future.
Mm-hmm.
But where do you derive your information about the future?
Uh-huh.
Matters more than the information.
Mm. Okay.
I will repeat that one.
Very
where
important.
You derive the information about the future matters more than the information about the future. So before we believe you, we need to know there are many who can reveal some things about the future. But there is only one source that has been into the future that we can solidly trust that knows the future better than anyone. If you derive your information from that source, then you are different from one who studies palms, horoscopes, and such other things.
Yeah, it's actually quite exciting, because very important. You are saying that where you derive your information is more important than the information itself. Now, let's talk about Ellen White, one of the founders of the SDA Church. After the messages God sent through her, has he gone silent, God, that is, or does he still speak through prophets even to this day?
Let me first put it maybe as an example. You are driving from one city to another. Let's say your destination is Johannesburg, and you reach a road sign that reads Johannesburg, 100 kilometers. Then you don't see another that says Johannesburg, 99 kilometers, 98, 97, 96, blah, blah, blah. Will you say road signs have ceased? I don't think so. Instead, what you are going to discover is that the previous sign is adequate to carry me up to Johannesburg or up to a time when another sign might be given. Mm-hmm. So even when we are putting road signs, we don't put them on every meter. Am I making sense?
You are making you're making sense. However, I just have a bit of a question right there. Though you are making sense, however, if you are traveling, taking your example, on a road that you don't know, you've never traveled, and you are seemingly, you know, traveling a little bit of a longer distance without now, I mean, it was 100 kilometers, and now you're feeling that, no man, there should have been a sign here. You start panicking. So to say that you actually constantly need an assurance on the road that you are on the right path, and so if you don't get that continuously, you may actually begin to panic and even taking an off ramp because you're thinking, ah, maybe I'm on the wrong road.
That's very important. Now you have to trust that these people that put road signs are capable of understanding that the longer we stretch before we put another, the more dangerous to the traveler. So the road signs are calculated by somebody who has known that the longer we take after another road sign, we might cause the next person to feel that they are already lost. So this has been studied before you got into the road. So the road already has signs enough to guide you to the right place. Unless you ignore a sign, you are sure to get to Johannesburg at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to us? It means that on the journey, God has spoken through an individual.
Okay.
He can still speak in the future. But if he doesn't, he believes that the sign given previous is still adequate enough to carry us as we ride to the future.
Mm-hmm.
When he notices that it's been long since I gave the previous sign, he will definitely do like road sign people do, put another sign.
Yeah, indeed. Now, are there any biblical examples of the spiritual gifts of prophecy?
Yes, there are. Actually, what is very interesting is that almost the entire Bible came by because God had given the gift of prophecy. But we will give some examples to clarify. First, when we look at chapter 21 of Acts, the 90 text, the scriptures tell us that the daughters of Philip had the spirit of prophecy, had the spirit of prophecy. That's a gift given to the four daughters. What is interesting is, number one, these daughters never wrote anything. They never left us any matter. So the gift can be given to guide at a given time, and it does not appear for the next generation. That was a case here. But we have Anna, the prophetess, at Jesus' birth. When Jesus is being dedicated, another prophetess stands there. But when you read Matthew chapter 22, verse 43 through 46, you will notice that Jesus says David spoke under inspiration, meaning that Jesus believed David spoke by the spirit of prophecy. Last, maybe we put these two. First, 2 Peter 1, verse 21. What is interesting about the statement will make it clear that almost the entire Bible is a work of the Holy Spirit, especially the work of the gift of prophecy. He says, knowing this, that no prophecy came at any time by the will of men.
Mm.
But holy men of God spoke as they were moved. I like it in Greek. The same word is used today in English as ferry. Mm. You are ferrying people from point A. They moved as they spoke as they were ferried by the Holy Spirit. The kind of idea that is put across is the Holy Spirit is the performer. You are not doing. So the Holy prophecy is not done. It's an action that is passive to the prophet. You don't say, let me start prophesying. No, somebody has to do that through you.
Mm.
So the entire compact that we call the Holy Scriptures came by, according to Peter, as ancient people were ferried, moved by the Holy Spirit, carried by the Holy Spirit. It is the, so you will notice that the gift of the Holy Spirit, called the gift of prophecy, is the prerogative. You don't study it. We live in a generation where people study to be prophets. It's a fascinating thing. Well, unbiblical. Yes, very fascinating and fascinatingly unbiblical. When we check it from the scripture, somebody cannot move the Holy Spirit. He moves somebody. Yes. Lastly, Agabus, in the same text that we read first, where Philip's daughters were prophesying, Agabus also had the gift of prophecy. And he told of what awaited Paul, the preacher or the apostle, ahead of him in Jerusalem.
Yeah. Well, Pastor, I must say that it's been a pleasure by having you on board. Thank you so much for that. And, of course, we're going to be spending yet another day with you tomorrow. So the biblical prophets, before I let you go, shortly, very briefly, biblical prophets that lived in the day, I mean, we had seers, we had prophets, etc., we had all sorts of people. The ones that I mentioned, do they all have the same source?
Right.
I mean, we see
the biblical ones.
Yeah, we see the ones that we read from the Bible. I mean, we see at some point Samuel, was it, talking to a prophet as well, somewhere in the Bible. So, yeah, that's why I'm asking.
All right. Yeah. You will notice that all who had the same source did not disagree.
Okay.
So the biblical writers and many of them, the Holy Spirit, what he said 6,000 years ago, he cannot change 6,000 years later.
Mm-hmm.
All who had the same source with us. But we had people like Neria. You remember Neria during the days of Nehemiah.
Mm-hmm.
She spoke from another source.
Yeah.
And Nehemiah could say, I noticed that God was not moving here. So it's possible to have some prophets written in scripture like Hanani during the days of Jeremiah, who are moved by another source. That's why at the beginning I say the source is more important even than the prophet and the message of the prophet.
Yeah. Very interesting. Well, Pastor, I thank you so much. And I think that you've put it so emphatically. Indeed, very important, the source of the prophecy, more than you would actually have the prophecy itself. Kudos to that message. Thank you so much. We're going to be speaking to you once again tomorrow at the same time and same place.
God bless you. Thank you.
Blessings. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
You had